So going into our new series is called On Mission. Everyone say, On Mission. On Mission. All right, and as we we're coming out of our Hearing from God series, which was awesome. We're just hearing so many people that are hearing from God. It's just the greatest thing. We realize, you know what? We hear from God for a purpose, right? It's not just so that we can hear from him. You know, we talked about that in our series, that he speaks with purpose. When he speaks, it ushers us into the future. And so we want to be a church that not only hears from him, but that answers him, right? That responds and gets on mission with him. And so we're going to be journeying through the book of Acts together. And we probably won't cover the entire book of Acts, but we're going to pull out just these different thoughts and ideas. What does this look like for Village Church to be on mission? And when we say Village Church, we mean you. Okay, we want to make that very clear. We heard, I don't want to steal your thunder, but we heard a stat that said 90% of Christians have never shared the gospel with a friend. 90% of Christians are not on mission. 90%. Is that crazy? 90% are not on mission. And so we want to be a church that says, we're going to break that. We're going to break that statistic, right? You guys are saying, I'm a storyteller. I'm going to go. I'm going to share the gospel with my friends. I'm going to lead people to Jesus. So we're going to bring out, what does this look like for us individually to be on mission with Jesus? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, we're going to read out of Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11 today. Give you a moment to get there. All right. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So the main truth that we want to pull out of not just this passage today, but really this entire series, is that Jesus' purpose, his very purpose for us, is to be on mission. And the mission is a little vague, but that's okay, because it's going to look different in every person's life, in every person's context, what they're called to. But that mission is to be witnesses, his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, right? And notice he doesn't say, some of you are going to go to Samaria, some of you are going to go here. It's a blanket statement that says, look, you're going to be my witnesses to the very ends of the earth. In every place that you touch, everything that you do, you will be my witnesses. And that is what we're supposed to do as a church. That's who Village Church is supposed to be. Our vision statement is that we want to be ambassadors for Christ. That's being on mission for God. That's having an assignment and owning that assignment and saying, I'm going to do what you asked me to do. And you know what? What God has asked us to do, because, again, it is the absolute most effective statistically way of reaching people for Jesus, is we're going to plant more churches. And you know what? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense sometimes how it's going to work. But God is calling us to that. I think we're going to plant a church within this next year. Crazy, right?
And we're staying here, so that means someone in here is doing it.
Yeah. I believe that wholeheartedly, because that's what God is impressing on us. is that it has to happen that quickly. And you know what? That's only one church. In 2 years, I would bet that we're going to be on our way to our church plant number 3. Guys, that's crazy, I know. But that's okay. God calls us to crazy things, and only when we do things that only God can do are we allowing God to be God in our lives, right? If we say, well, we need to hold back a little bit, and we need to get a little more stable, and we need to have a firmer foundation for us to make sure that we can survive, if we do that, who knows if we'll ever be ready to plant a church, right? But if we really want to commit to this mission that God has for us, if we really want to say, all right, God, whatever you want for us, and we want to reach people for you in the most effective way possible, then we have to be planting churches. That's just the world that we live in today. And that's an awesome, exciting thing. Guys, imagine what this community can look like in 5 years. The surrounding communities, we could have 5 churches. I have no idea. Maybe it's just one other church, but still, guys, in 5 years, I would pray that we're going to double, triple, quadruple the amount of people that are in the kingdom now because Village Church is here and you are here and you are accepting the call to be on mission with God. Guys, we have 70 plus salvations so far. 70 plus salvations. We want to see that replicated over and over and over and over and over again. Amen? Don't you? All right.
That's good. So then if this is true, right, this is not just going to happen out of thin air, right? So it requires God's people to be on mission with him. That means not only are, you know, Cody and I and our leadership team on mission saying we're going to step into this, that means you, right, stepping into this on we're going to explain what does that look like then? Because the question is, how do we then prepare for the mission? Right? Because right now, it's just something that God's spoken over us. This is what I need you to do. And so we're like, okay, well, a lot of things have to happen, right? We need leaders. We need what we need, whatever God thinks we need for those things. And so if we're going to be people that step into that and say, okay, let's do it, then how do we actually prepare? How do we here in Red Rock prepare for the mission that God has for us? And the first thing we see in this passage of scripture is that Jesus is asking his disciples to be open. Okay, that's one of our points today. Be open. It's really interesting. Jesus comes back from the dead and he's hanging out with the disciples. And I love that first couple verses says, and he was around and had conversations with people. Many convincing things happened that he was resurrected. And then he says very specifically to the disciples, I want you to wait, right? I'm going. I need you to wait. Because, you know, you're baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we say, oh, that's so great. But they had no idea what the heck that meant, right? Can you imagine them like, what is that? And at this point, they've learned to shut their mouths because they've asked a lot of questions of Jesus. And he's like, why are you so dull? He even says one time, like, why are you still asking me questions? And so they're quiet about it. But I guarantee you, those disciples were just like, we don't know what that means, but okay. Right? And so Jesus is asking them to be open because that language, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, that was new language. That was something new that was going to happen. And they couldn't understand that language. They couldn't really grasp it because they hadn't yet experienced it, right? It was something new coming forth, a new move of God among the people. And I think in the same way, that's how it is for us when we're on mission, right? It's something new that we can't quite grasp. When God says to us, I need you to just wait, or I need you to do this or that, you know, sometimes it's language that we're like, well, what would that even mean? Or that doesn't make sense in my context right now or where I'm at. And so we need to be people that are open. You know, in coming to Red Rock, God asked me to be open. He said that to me before, way before we had ever pulled off the freeway here. I was living in another city in Sacramento, and God said, I need you to be open. He said that very clearly to me. Talk about hearing from God. It was very short, very specific, be open. And my response was, well, God, I am open. If I would do anything for you, right? Because if I asked you right now, would you do anything for God? A lot of us would say, yes, I would. But then God began to introduce some things to me. Well, what about this? What if you had to give up your business? I had a thriving photography business, right? In my last year in business, it was a side business. I made over $40,000. So to leave that, right? to leave a side business that's really helping my foot? What if I had to leave that? Well, I don't know if I'm so open now, right? Like, and what if I had to leave Sacramento where I grew up and I had never thought, I wasn't one of those like, I want to move away from home. I'm like, I love it here. I want to raise my kids. I got my dad here, my mom here, my sisters. Like, this is our home. But to leave Sacramento and then to move to the desert, right? That's just a whole different open, right? Like, what? Why would I? I had been to Arizona one time. I'd gotten off the freeway 5 years ago. I spoke at a retreat. Drove from the airport in Phoenix to a conference center, drove back and left. That was my experience with Arizona. Cody had never even been to the state, okay? So, you know, God began to introduce these things. Would you really do anything for me? How open are you? And I began to realize I'm not as open as I thought I was. I'm really not. You know, if we are going to be people on mission with God, we have to be open for anything. We have to be open for anything. We have to be women and men that say, no, anything, Lord, because I trust you, right? I trust you. What you say is good. When God told me, you know, how 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you're going to plant a church, I was like, what are you talking about? That was new language, okay? Brand new language. I had thought, oh, I'll be part of a team, but to be the lead pastor of a move of God is sort of daunting, right? That was a new language, and I had no idea what that was going to mean. A lot like these disciples hearing, like, they're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, this new kind of idea. But when you're open, God can do amazing things. I mean, the miracles that he has worked in our life, just because we finally took us 6 months, I'll tell you, 6 months. My encouragement to you would be, don't let it take that long, okay? Let it be open right now. Whatever it is, we're going to have an opportunity in a little bit to sort of let all those fears and things go. Don't let it take 6 months. But it took that long for us to get open. And when we finally did, the floodgates of blessing and miracles happened to us. I've told you guys some of the things that, you know, if I ever have a doubting moment in my life now, I'm like, yeah, but that 6 months, like that 6 months of my life, I can't go back because he did so many amazing things in our lives and still is at work simply because we were open to receive him. And so the question is, are you willing to be open? How open are you?
Right. Well, and that's the question, yeah. How open are you? So we want to get you to visualize a number in your head right now. If you have to close your eyes, feel free. But I want you to really look inside yourself, test your spirit, and say, okay, how open am I to whatever God has for me? How open am I? And I want you to put a number on a scale of 1 to 10.
10 being right open, now. Open, open.
Yep, 10 being absolutely, absolutely open. So once you have that number, I want you to ask yourself, what would it look like to bump that number up? What would it take to bump that number up? Say you're a 5. What would it take to get to a 6? Even if it's just 1, what would it take in your life to get to a 6? And then once you answer that question, you can say, okay, what would it take to get to a 7 or an 8, right? And then once you're there, like, you can keep going. But really, openness always just comes down to a choice. Mm-hmm. So, with whatever number you have in your head, can you at least commit today to choose to move up in that scale with your openness? Mm-hmm. Can we all do that? Can we all make that commitment today? You say amen? Amen.
All right. Half of you were like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah. <Just kidding. laughs> All right. So the next thing that we have to be in order to prepare to be on mission is to be ready. And I think typically when we think of getting ready or being ready, we usually attach a specific time to that, right? If we have to get ready for something, usually say like there's a marathon or something that you're gonna wanna get ready for, and so you start preparing 6 months ahead of time or a year ahead of time or whatever, and you have a date, right, set. Okay, I'm gonna get ready for that date. Right, or even just as simple as every day, we have to be at work at a certain time, so we know, okay, I gotta get up at this time in order to get everything I need to get done, and then I have to give myself this much time to get to work, right? And a lot of times, we kinda, most of us tend to not give ourselves more time than we need, right? Like, if you need to get to work, you're not gonna get up 2 hours before you need to get up.
No.
Just for the heck of it. Most of us just, that's not how it works, right?
Unless you're Cody. Cody does.
Well,
he does
that's
do
because
that.
I like being early. But, but We're used to that, and I think we mistakenly put that same kind of an understanding on God's plan and God's will and his mission for us. We say, okay, you tell me when, and I'll tell you when I'll start getting ready. Right? You give me a date, and I'll say, okay, give me 6 months, God, and I'll try to get ready. Right? But that's not how God's will works for our lives. Right? What Jesus is saying, he's plainly not giving them a time. It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by my own authority. It's not for you guys to know that. Mm-hmm. He's saying, I'm not going to give you a date and then expect you, like, hopefully you'll get off your butts and you'll get ready for that day. He's saying, I need you ready now. Mm-hmm. I need you every moment of every day to be ready, because you know what? God has us on call. Right? We're not scheduled with God. We're not working a 9-to-5 with God. God has us on call, and at any moment, God could say, you're up. You're on. I need you now. Mm-hmm. And so our job in getting ready is to get ready now. Because at a moment's notice, God could say, I need you. I need you. That person is desperate for what you have to tell them. And if you're not ready, then that moment's going to slip by. And maybe someday you'll look back and go, man, I wish I was ready. Yeah. I wish I would have been more ready for that.
Yeah, you could be sure that God is going to call you specifically at that point. The mission will present itself for you specifically. And, you know, I've had the privilege of giving birth to 2 children. I say privilege. I mean, that was traumatic. But, you know, in pregnancy, I didn't have scheduled births, okay? Some women have scheduled C-sections. I was just waiting for them to come, and I had no idea what day those babies were gonna come, right? And I was hoping and thinking it would be one day, and then Haley, my first, was 9 days late. Everyone go, oh my gosh. Okay, because 9 days later than her due date, right? And I'm like 5 foot, so my belly was just like ready, so ready to give birth, ready to be done, right? Ready to step into the mission of being a parent. Now, have you ever seen those shows, like, I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant? I know this is like a female illustration, but those are crazy. Like, these people just, like, all of a sudden they're like, I had no idea I was pregnant, and I gave birth to a baby. I'm like, there's no way. All you women that have had a baby, no way, okay? You know that there's something growing and moving and there's life inside you. There is no way, unless you are literally just in 100% denial, that you could miss a baby. I watched that show, I'm like, it's fake. There's no way. There's no way. There's absolutely no way. And that is a lot like how it is with God, right, on mission, that there's just no way. If we call ourselves Christians, if we have the Holy Spirit living inside us, he absolutely has a time and a place for us to step into mission with him. And if we are not preparing on a daily basis for that, if we're not saying, Lord, I'm open, anything, I'm ready, use me, whatever you have today, help me step into it. I'm ready. You call me, I dare you, right? All these amazing stories of faith in scripture that they're like, if it's you, tell me to walk on water. If he even looks at us, that'll be God's sign that we're supposed to go to battle. You know, if it's him, then if it's you, I'll do it. Like, they're making these crazy vows and sacrifices, just almost as if they're daring God to ask them, ask me, come on out, right? Because, you know, whether it's 9 days late or Allison was 2 weeks early, you know, like, you, if you're not prepared for parenting, right, if you're not prepared for that moment, it's rough. I know some women that they weren't prepared and they got into that kind of time of birth, and you're like, like, it's rough, and it can damage and be difficult. But when you're ready, right? I took a birthing class. I knew exactly what my body was going to be doing, what we needed to do. When you're ready, it's a whole different experience. Not easy, but different experience. And so we have to be people that prepare every day for the mission, right? The mission is coming. There is a date down for you, and it could be tomorrow. It could be later this afternoon. We have to be people that say, I'm ready, Lord. Use me.
Yeah. So we, at this conference, they gave a really a powerful representation of what this looks like. And I just want to clarify, too, being open is just accepting the fact that God might ask anything of you. Mm-hmm. And you saying, okay, if you ask anything, it's the what ifs that we kind of play games with when we say, like, well, what if he asked me that? I don't know if I can do that. Getting open is saying, okay, whatever you ask of me, that's all right. But getting ready is the actual act of maybe dropping those things and getting rid of those things and setting your priorities straight in your life. Yeah. And so I want each of you to clench your fist for a second. Just clench your fist. So I want you to take note of some things, right? First off, the only times you do this are usually negative experiences, right? Either you're gonna punch somebody, or you're angry, or you're frustrated, right? Or you're scared, oh no, right? Like, that's the only time that you have a clenched fist, typically. And feel the tension that it causes on your arm. And you're not approachable, are you? If I'm doing this, and somebody wants to come talk to me, they're probably not gonna wanna come talk to me, because I'm like, you know, like, that's not a warm, welcoming face, is it? Like, that's not the face that Jesus wants from me, right? And what I want you to do, as we continue on, as long as you can, I want you to hold that clenched fist. And I want you to see how tired you get. Because you know what's in that fist is all the things that you refuse to let go of. That's what you're not letting go of. That's what you're holding on to so tightly, so desperately, thinking that this is all that's important in my life. Mm. And if I let go of this, what's going to happen? But it causes you stress, yeah. Anxiety. It wears you out. It means that you're not approachable, right? It puts you off to the side, away from other people. It takes you out of relationships. So today, I want you to really concentrate on that thing. What is that for you? Is it fear? Is it a lack of trust in God? Saying, I don't know if I can allow you to be God in my life. I don't know if I'm ready for that. I still have a lot that I'm afraid to let go of, and I'm not ready. Maybe it's just your priorities aren't straight, right? Where you spend your time is where your priorities are at. Where you spend your money is where your priorities are at. It's pretty easy to figure out what that is. Do those priorities line up with what God has for you and what he wants for you and what he needs from you to be on mission 100%, fully open and ready for him? Yeah. That's what that clenched fist represents. Mm-hmm. And as we continue, like I said, I want you to keep that. I want you to keep that. All right.
Yeah, you know, for us, it was a lot of different things. Our finances were a mess, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, and God began to move and say, you know, it's time to get that figured out. Whatever that is, you need to get that figured out. You know, at one point when we were before we moved, our calendar was so full, like there was not a minute to breathe in that calendar. And God was like, if you don't make space for me in your life, how are you at all going to be ready? If your calendar is just brimmed full, or you're defensive of your time, or I just, God, this is what I need, you know, holding on to that, you know, getting your priorities straight really is what it looks like. And so it can be, you know, things in our soul, fear, lack of trust, you know, whoa, but it can also be just practical character issues, you know, that things like if you are someone that gossips, or you're someone that struggles in whatever character issue or whatever, it's time to get those things dealt with, right? Time to get ready. The last thing we see here, if we're going to prepare for the mission, is that we have to be brave. Everyone say, be brave. All right. Jesus gives them this mission, right? He says, I need you to go be open. I need you to be ready. The Holy Spirit is coming. And then he says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. He's going to come. And then you will be my witnesses to Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth, right? That's crazy, the ends of the earth. I often read that and think, Jesus, did you just get carried away there? You know, did you just mean right here, right now? But I mean, these people, they grew up right here. They grew up, this is their home where they're at. And he's saying here, but also the next town over, which happens to be enemies, and even beyond that to the ends of the world, right? The ends of the earth. Be brave. He gives them the mission. Go change the world with the power that's about to come on you. So I'm going to equip you. I'm going to give you everything you need. And in a nutshell, what he's saying is go change the world. You know, I was reminded of that this week at this conference, that is what we're doing. That is what we're here for. You know, someone had said, I might botch the quote, but Erwin McManus, who's a phenomenal speaker, came up and he just said, we are supposed to be the ushering in of world change right? That we're the ones that carry God's Spirit. We carry His mission. We are the witnesses. We are the ones that are supposed to be ushering in that move of God for the future, that the world can be changed. Do you believe that? And that's not just big church, that's not mega churches, that's not, you know, the churches that have been around 50 years and have tons of money. That is even for a seven-month-old village church, still trying to figure out who are we and what are we doing. That is also for us. You will receive power. Receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, that you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth, that you would change the world.
Right. And the bravery part of this is where the rubber meets the road. And that's where things get difficult. And that's why there's stats like 90% of Christians have never once shared their faith with anybody, even sometimes other Christians. Because nothing requires bravery more than the unknown. A pretty grim example of this was in World War II, in the Holocaust. The Nazis would put some of their captors in this room, and they'd give them two doors. And they'd say, this door, if you choose that door, there's going to be a firing squad behind it. This door, we're not going to tell you what it is. You pick. Every single person that went through there chose the firing squad. Because they just assumed the worst. And we assume the worst in the face of the unknown. That's why we don't share. Because we think if we go and tell our friends, our family members, or even strangers, and we tell them this amazing thing that's occurred in us, and we tell them this is who has saved my life, we think that we're going to get laughed at. We think that we're going to get called names, and that maybe that relationship will end. I don't know about you guys, but every time I've shared my faith, I've never had that happen. It's usually a positive experience, or the person just like, yeah, well, thanks for sharing that. And that's about it. That's about as crazy as it gets. The only time I've ever been mocked for being a Christian is when I was a kid, and then by other kids. And that's it. But into adulthood and stuff, every time I share my faith or tell somebody I'm a pastor or anything, it's usually received well. Because, again, if we don't understand, if we don't own the fact that everyone you encounter that doesn't have Jesus is desperate for Jesus, if we don't own that, then we're never going to say anything.
Yeah.
And that's our mission, that we're going to be His witnesses to the ends of the earth. That's what He's telling us. It's not, I need you to live a good life for your sake. Never once does it say that, guys. The absolute purpose that Jesus and God and everybody, the whole Trinity that they've set out for us and that they've equipped us for, right? The whole thing is to go tell people about Jesus so that they can have a relationship with Him as well. Mm-hmm. That's it. It's pretty simple. And if we're not doing that, then we are not on mission.
Yeah.
It's as plain and simple as that. If we're not doing that as individuals, then this church is never going to reach who we need to reach and who God has created us to reach.
Yeah.
It takes individuals. It doesn't take just a big church. Ashley and I and some of the other leaders and stuff, it's we can't do it on our own.
Yeah.
We're only going to be able to affect our context, and our contexts are relatively small. But if every single one in here, if we can own the fact that that's what we're supposed to do, if we each tell one person, say a month, even if we start there and say, this month, I'm going to try to tell one person about Jesus. If each of us does that, imagine the kingdom impact that we can have and the multiplication that can create.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. So, I know that God has put His mission in front of you already. I don't even have to ask the question if He has or do you recognize it, because I know He has. I know He's called each of you, and I know that you've felt stirrings in your heart as to what you need to do better and what He's calling you to improve and the areas that you're needing to let go. I know that it's already happened. And in order to be on mission, in order to get ready, then today is the day that you need to say, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be who you need me to be. Because only then, am I going to be truly fulfilled. Because that's who I was created. That's what I was created for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have the worship team come forward. And we are going to go into a time of response, and we build this into our service so that you can meet with God. You know, a lot of you let go of your fist, I noticed, got too tired, you know. We're going to give you an opportunity now to sort of surrender those things to the Lord, right? To say, those are the things that I've been holding on to, and I recognize I need to let go of those things, those fear, maybe those character issues. I need to just commit those things to you, Jesus. You know, in this response time, we want to encourage you. There's your information card in your bulletin. If you have any questions or you want to be on our email list or you have a prayer request, please fill those things out. You can put them at one of our giving stations. We have two on the side and one in the back. If you want to respond to God with your giving, we encourage you to do that. It's been incredible the way God is moving through here. And one of our core values is generosity, and that's leveraging our life for Jesus. Talk about being on mission, missional language, right? We leverage our time, our families, our resources, our jobs, our money for His mission, first and foremost. So if you want to respond to God that way, you can do so during this time. We're also going to go into a time of communion. And the way it works here is that you can come up down the center if you're a believer in Jesus. If you call yourself a Christian, you can take communion. And there's bread up here. You can dip it in the juice and go back to your seat from there. But the Bible says that we should not enter into communion lightly. And what that means is that we should understand what it is that we're doing here, right? We can't be having resentment against other people when Jesus died for them, right? We have to let go of our resentment. We can't be holding on to things saying, thanks for dying, but no thanks. I'm keeping my life. Bible says you try and save your life, you will lose it. But if you give your life away, you'll find it. And I love Communion Sundays because they're a kind of a reset, a refresh time where we just come together as a body and remember what Jesus did for us, right? With his disciples the night before he went up to the cross, he sat with his most beloved and he said, don't forget what I've done for you, which essentially all through scripture, God is just begging his people, don't forget. You are people of spiritual amnesia. You have amazing moments in church and say, I'm going to be on mission. Then you walk outside and get angry or whatever. You forget everything when you walk out the door. So he says, don't forget. Don't forget. And this is the symbol by which you as the church are going to remember. You're going to take bread because my body was broken. You're going to take broken bread and you're going to eat it. I mean, how much more personal can that get? I'm going to come and become one with Christ. My blood, take that in remembrance of what I did. Don't forget. And so as you come forward to receive communion, I want you to remember what is, clench your fist again. I want to see it all. Clench your fist. Whatever was in that fist, you remember that Jesus was on mission for you, right? He had a mission. And he came for you. And he died for you. And so our job as his followers is to be on mission for him now, right? And so as you come forward and you receive communion, we just want to, just before you come, maybe just prepare your heart. Don't take it lightly. Let those things go. Feel that kind of tension release and let those things go and make that vow to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to be on mission for you. I'm letting go of those fears. I'm ready and willing to step into the issues that I know that I have, that I've been trying to push down and forget and cover up, but I'm going to work through those things. I'm ready to invite you in so that I can say yes, I can be open for anything. I'll tell you, so many Christians say, I want to experience God in a big way, right? Who wants to experience God in a big way? Raise your hand. Right. Not one of us comes here because we're just like trying to fill a void. But too many times, guys, we don't position ourselves where God has to be God. Because if God, we're going to experience God in a big way, that means that we have to get to the end of our rope, right? Where our resources run out, where we come to the end of ourselves, right? Because that's what makes God God, is that he comes through in the miracles when we get to the end of who we are. And so let's do that by choice. Let's get to the end of who we are by choice, right? Not by accident, not by fumbling and our own control, but by choice. Lord, move. Position me in places in my work, with my money, in my marriage that require you to be God, require you to come through. Because that, when God does that work in us, he does it through us, right? When we allow him to do that in us, he works through us to the world around us. So go ahead and just bow your heads, and when you're ready, you can come forward and receive communion. Okay, so don't come until you're ready. Don't come until you're ready to let those things go. And then when you do, you can make a line in the center and go off to the side. Father, we are grateful, Father, that you are provider. Lord, we forget that this is not in our control. We forget sometimes, God, that the day-to-day workings of our life is not because of anything we've done, God. But we remember today the ways that you've moved in our lives, God. The reason that we even get to have a personal relationship with you. Because your son Jesus went to the cross for us. Lord, we praise you that you call us on mission. Lord, we praise you that our little span of life here on earth can leave an impact for your kingdom that lasts forever. God, that the tangible resources, the money that we have, that we spend it and it goes, God, when we put it to work, we leverage our lives, our money, our resources, our time for you. You bring it into your eternal economy, God, and it matters forever. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the opportunity and the privilege and the honor of being on mission with you. Help us to let go of the things that hinder that. Help us, God. For anyone in here now just struggling to let go, Father, would you just whisper truth? Lord, you're so gentle and so good. Remind us, Father, that we need you. We need you. Lord, we're so grateful.